The following lecture is provided by Biblical Training. The speaker is Dr. Robert Stein. More information is available at www.biblicaltraining.org.
All right, we want to look today at the Corinthian correspondence, and I use that term because there are more than two letters that we have to talk about. Now, during the second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul, according to Acts 18, came to the city of Corinth, and there he stayed, according to Acts 18:11, 16 months. And he, Paul, stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And then when we go to 18:18, after this, Paul stayed many days longer, so that we have a probably 2.5 year, 3 year kind of a stay at the church at Corinth, much like later the stay at the church at Ephesus during the third missionary journey. Now, with regard to the correspondence Paul wrote to Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, he refers to a letter. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with immoral men, not at all meaning the immoral of the world or the greedy and robbers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. Now, that could be what we call an epistolary aorist, in which he uses the past tense to refer to the letter he is presently writing, but when they read it, it will have been written. However, that's not the content of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians doesn't seem to deal with that subject. So it looks like he's referring to a letter previous to what we call 1 Corinthians. Now, if we want to call that 1 Corinthians, and then we call our 1 Corinthians 2 Corinthians, and our 2 Corinthians 4 Corinthians, that could cause all sorts of confusion. So instead, we'll refer to this first letter that he refers to in 1 Corinthians 5:9 as 1/2 Corinthians. All right, that allows us to keep 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. All right, now needless to say, there was no half of a letter that he wrote. So this earlier letter in 1 Corinthians 5:9, we will simply refer to 1/2 Corinthians so that we can leave our present letter, which is called 1 Corinthians, as 1 Corinthians. Now, in the second letter he wrote, he refers to things there in 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4, for instance. He says, and I wrote, past tense again, as I did, so that when I come I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I feel sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote out of much affliction and anguish of heart with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love I have for you. In verse 9 he says, this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you were obedient in everything. And then in 7:8, he refers again to a letter. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For as I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. Now, this is a harsh, painful letter that he's written, and that doesn't seem to be 1 Corinthians either. So it looks like after writing 1 Corinthians, he wrote some other harsh letter in which he rebuked the church, and we will call that 1.5 Corinthians. And then we have 2 Corinthians. So we have our 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then before each of those, there seems to have been another letter that Paul had written. Now, the authorship of 1 and 2 Corinthians is really not disputed. Only some crazies out there might argue that Paul didn't write one of these letters or something like that. But anybody, even radical critics that are still living on our present planet, you know, they acknowledge these two letters Paul certainly wrote. And along with Romans and Galatians, no one would ever dispute those, although, of course, we have people who have in the past. The question of the authorship of these letters is not disputed, but the question of the integrity of 2 Corinthians is. Now, we're not talking about moral integrity. We're saying Is 2 Corinthians as we have it now a letter that Paul wrote just as is? Or is it an amalgam of several letters that Paul may have written to the Corinthians? In other words, is 2 Corinthians made up of not only what he wrote in 2 Corinthians, but also parts of 1/2 Corinthians and 1.5 Corinthians? For instance, some people will argue that 2 Corinthians 6:14-7:1 was that letter dealing where Paul says not to deal with immoral people. And that 2 Corinthians 10:1-13:10 is that harsh letter, 1.5 Corinthians. And that what we call 2 Corinthians, and there's a typo here, is made up of 1:1-6:13, 1:1-6:13, 7:2-9:15, 13:11-14. And that's the original 2 Corinthians. So that, according to this, everything we have in 2 Corinthians is Pauline. Paul wrote it. But he didn't write it as a single letter. It's an amalgam of three letters. That would not be as much of a problem for inspiration, for instance, since it's all Pauline. But the real problem is, what happened to the rest of these fragmented letters? Why were these fragments saved and not other parts? It's very hard to explain why, if Paul had written 1/2 Corinthians and 1.5 Corinthians, only parts of it were saved and put into 2 Corinthians. There are times when 2 Corinthians looks like there is a real break. For instance, in 2 Corinthians 6:13, we have a rather sharp break with that and with verse 14. And if you go then to chapter 9, 9:15 seems to end, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. And then you have a rather difficult, harsh kind of letter coming in 10:1-13:10. And you wonder about why these changes. When Paul wrote these letters, did he do it at one sitting? In other words, was all of 2 Corinthians dictated at the same time? That would not be an easy thing to do, because you have to wait for your scribe to write this down. Or are these larger letters maybe a project that took a period of time that he wrote through? Things came up, and that pen was laid down. The amanuensis or scribe that wrote it had to leave, or Paul had to do something, and there might be a time gap. And if there's a time gap, maybe some additional news comes up, and something that bothers Paul, and he needs to deal with a rebuke all of a sudden, even though the previous issue was not rebuke material. I think he has to allow for these letters to be written over a period of time with interruptions in them, and maybe the breaks that we see that seem to be clear as you read them consecutively at one sitting would not be as apparent if you were dictating them to a secretary at various installments. Again, the main issue is not of authorship, it's a matter of the integrity of the letter. Now, the occasion of the letter in 1 Corinthians, Paul is in Ephesus. He says that explicitly in the letter. In 16:5, he starts talking about plans. After passing through Macedonia, I intend to go there, perhaps I will stay with you. So he's in Asia, Western Turkey. He's talking about a time to go over across the sea to what we call Northern Greece or Macedonia, and then visit them. But in verse 8, he says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. I'm going to stay here in Ephesus. So he's writing a letter from Ephesus, and it will probably go by a messenger who may go directly by ship across the Aegean Sea to the Isthmus of Corinth, or they may have a longer journey by visiting the other churches in Macedonia and working their way down. But Paul is in Ephesus as he writes the letter. He writes the letter for a number of reasons. For one, the church has written him and asked for information about certain issues. This is most clear in 7:1. in 1 Corinthians 7:1, concerning which things you wrote. They wrote a letter for advice. And so Paul is now answering that. And he says, concerning the things which you wrote. Okay. He's going to keep on using that concerning, but not fill out concerning which things you wrote. But for instance, he goes on and deals at that issue, 7:1, about marriage issues. And then in 7:25, now concerning the unmarried, dealing with people who are not married. Then he goes on in chapter 8:1. Now concerning food offered to idols. They raised the question, is it right if you eat food that's been dedicated to idols? And Paul wrestles with that issue in the church. In 12:1, another issue has come up that they ask him about, and he has another introduction that tells us he's now dealing with the matters that they have written to him about. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. And deals with that issue. Then finally in 16:1, another question they have raised involves the offering that is being collected for the poor in Jerusalem. Now concerning the contribution for the saints. So in 7:1, now concerning which things you wrote me. And then he repeats, now concerning this, now concerning that, now concerning this, now concerning that. And he deals with specific issues that the church in Corinth has asked him to comment on. He also writes, however, because he has learned things. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11, he's heard a report from people from Corinth. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brethren. So he has heard some of the messengers that have come maybe to bring that letter have added comments. Paul might say, now how are things going? And Chloe says, well, you know, we're having some real problems in the church, divisions in the church and so forth. And so he writes that way. And he refers again to these two messengers who have brought information to him in chapter 16. Verses 17 and 18. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanidas and Fortunatus and Archaicus, because they have made up for your absence. They have refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such men. And so Paul asks them about what's going on, how are things going in Corinth. They have brought him additional information. And he has heard about divisions in the church. 1:12 and following will deal with that. He's heard about immorality in the church. And he has to deal with that issue. And he's heard about disorder at communion. They haven't written about that. But the people who've come, Chloe's people and these others that have brought news, have informed him. So he writes because of the things he's heard there. And he has also heard from them that there are some people who have come to a unique stage in the Christian life. They have reached a higher level and this has caused division as well. Some of them say they possess a unique knowledge, and in the early chapters he talks about knowledge a great deal. And so the question is, are these knowledge people Gnostics? Gnosticism seems to have been more later, however, than when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Are they people who have a special spiritual gift? They feel uniquely blessed with charismatic gifts and abilities, and this is causing trouble. Some people have reinterpreted the resurrection from the dead and think that this has already taken place. Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? There's no resurrection. It's already happened. And they have reinterpreted that in some sort of a spiritual sense. So, Paul, having been given a letter from the Corinthians asking to him to comment about certain issues, and having information from those who came from Corinth about situation there, he writes this letter.